Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us. Before discussing the quarter, I would like to begin by addressing an important milestone for Coronado. As announced earlier this month, we are in the process of completing our leadership transition. Barrie van der Merwe, currently our Chief Financial Officer, will become Chief Executive Officer on 1 August, while Sandeep Deoji will assume the role of Interim Chief Financial Officer. Leadership continuity is critically important for any organization, particularly during periods of transformation. And I am pleased this transition is occurring from a position of improving stability and strengthening operational momentum. Barrie has been instrumental in concluding the new arrangements with Stanwell last year and developing and launching the operational and commercial reset program currently underway, mainly at Curragh. He has played a central role in strengthening our focus on productivity, cash generation, operational discipline, and reducing debt in the future. Sandeep has similarly been heavily involved in the company's financial strategy, liquidity initiatives, capital management, and balance sheet improvement efforts. Importantly, there's a growing sense of positivity and momentum across the organization. Over the past several months, our teams have worked exceptionally hard to address operational challenges, improve reliability, and build a stronger foundation for the future. While we still have work ahead of us, we are beginning to see tangible evidence that the reset is starting to have a positive impact and that the business is moving in the right direction. The June quarter represents an important step in that journey, with stronger production, lower costs, positive earnings, and improving cash generation. With that, I will hand over to Barrie.
Thank you, Jerry, and good day, everyone. Before I get into it, I want to acknowledge and thank Jerry for his leadership and contribution to Coronado. Jerry started the business and has played a foundational role in building Coronado and guiding it through both periods of growth and more challenging recent market conditions. On behalf of the board, management team, and all our employees, I'd like to thank Jerry for his commitment, passion, and dedication to the company. We are grateful for helping us launch the Reset Program. I'm honored to be appointed as Coronado's Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer. The business has a lot of potential and great teams of people. The June quarter is a big improvement on March, which is a testament to the efforts of everyone involved. It's a first step in many to rebuild our credibility to deliver results. The Reset Program is a really exciting piece of work, and its realization is of critical importance to restore profitability, cash generation, and reduce debt. I will talk you through the Reset Program, how we envisage it working, and the benefits we're expecting to get from it. Let's start with safety, our highest priority, before we talk about the business results and plans for the future. As at 30 June 2026, the group's rolling 12-month TRIF was 1.34. This represents only a 3% improvement from 1.39 in the March quarter. The severity rate, or the number of days lost per 200,000 hours worked, improved more materially, declining from 34 to 24 days. While the time lost due to injuries have improved, which is indicative of less severe injuries, we have a lot more work to reduce the number of injuries occurring at our sites, as it remains at an elevated level compared to the past. We'll continue to prioritize safety as the most important leadership responsibility, and we are committed to delivering long-term improvements that create a safer workplace for everyone. We recently started rolling out a new safety leadership program. This will bring together leaders from all levels of the business, and initially it will focus on frontline leaders. It's designed to reinforce accountability, improve hazard identification and risk intervention, and strengthen the quality of safety conversations. The program aims to build a stronger safety culture founded on proactive risk management and shared ownership of safety outcomes. The initiative complements a range of ongoing actions, including a continuing focus on critical control verifications and leadership-led safety interactions. I'll now turn to the operational performance for the June quarter. If we look at the group, we expect the group to achieve about $10 million of EBITDA for the June quarter. So that's a material turnaround on the March quarter and is about a $100 million swing. It was driven by much improved mining rates and CHPP output at both sites, and then improved realized pricing from a higher proportion of met coal sales. Costs was in line with plan, despite the adverse impacts of uncontrollable higher diesel due to the ongoing Iranian conflict and a stronger AUD exchange rate, and these two both impact Curragh's costs. Overall ROM production increased 18% quarter on quarter to 6.4 million tonnes, and saleable production increased almost 40% to 4.1 million tonnes. During this June quarter, Buchanan achieved record ROM production, and both Curragh and Buchanan achieved record quarterly CHPP operating hours, which enabled higher throughput, improved recoveries, and increased saleable production. As I will discuss later on, CHPP performance and maximization of met coal production is a key value driver, and the performance during the quarter is a credit to the effort and the commitment of both operational teams. Now turning to Curragh. The June quarter represented a significant recovery following the planned two-week CHPP shutdown and seasonal operational disruptions during the March quarter. Mining activities normalized during this quarter, supported by stronger coal availability and improved overburden removal. As a result, ROM production at Curragh increased 74% to 3.9 million tonnes, and saleable production increased 76% to 3 million tonnes. Open pit mining performance was good in both the north and the south for both waste and coal mining. While the output from the Mammoth Underground mine doubled following the impact of the fatality in the March quarter, there remains opportunity for further improvement as the mining rate is still not quite what we originally planned. Mining cash costs declined 33% quarter on quarter to approximately $99 per ton, impacted by diesel and FX. While we are pleased with this progress, we continue to see substantial further opportunity, and I will talk more about what we are doing about cost and productivity. Producing the maximum possible high-margin met coal at Curragh to drive stronger margins and cash flow is one of our top priorities. Therefore, a lot of effort is going into improving plant availability and throughput, and we are starting to see early evidence of the team's success in this area. During the June quarter, operating hours regularly started exceeding 150 hours per week. Average throughput rates have also improved, and while variability can be expected as these initiatives continue to embed, the results reinforce our confidence that the plant improvement program is targeting the most important constraints. The plant improvement work is seen as part of this overall reset program, and I want to talk a bit more now about its other elements. The focus at Curragh is to create stability and predictability. It all starts with a mine plan. During this June quarter, we developed and began implementation of a new open pit mine plan that reduced execution risk, will over time improve pit geometries and support better productivity and lower operating costs. Coal volumes are expected to be maintained, and appropriate inventory buffers will be established across the coal value chain to support a more stable production system. When thinking about Curragh, one needs to remember that the North open pits represent the long-term future and sustainability of the operation, while what remains of the South has a much shorter life, and large parts of that is a low strip ratio, a lower strip ratio than the north. This represents an opportunity to think about the complex a bit differently. In the south, the new mine plan maximizes and accelerates lower strip ratio coal through terrace mining. This is better suited to truck and excavator fleets, and the focus and efficiency of the mining method allows us to park two truck and excavator fleets and the smaller drag line. This results in avoiding the upcoming major shutdown capex for that drag line and the associated operating cost with running it. The larger drag line that currently operates in the south will be walked to the north, and there it'll help establish improved pit geometries. Cost reductions and margin improvement driven by the south and lowering cost in the north will then enable us to fund the establishment of improved geometries in the north, the long-term sustainable part of the mine, and this will accommodate three drag lines in this transition period. It'll drive future costs down, it'll increase production over time, and it'll help us establish the required inventory buffers across the complex to support system stability. The new plan therefore funds setting up the north for longer term future and get in place the key things we need for stable operations. While this approach in the south does require the acceleration of developing XPIT, which is currently in feasibility phase, to maintain the production profile beyond 2027, there's enough time to get that done, and the results of this reset program is expected to generate adequate cash to fund that development. It's also worth mentioning that developing XPIT will take priority over allocating capital, if it's available, to Mammoth 2 until such time as we consolidate and internalize all the learnings from Mammoth 1. At the upcoming half-year results roadshow, we will share more details about exactly how all of this is going to work. Off the back of the new mine plan, we are progressing a comprehensive review of our mining services arrangements for both the north and the south. Open pit mining services contracts represents about 40% of Curragh's mine cash costs, and we're working closely with our contractors to simplify contract structures, improve transparency, better align incentives, and capture the benefits created by the new mine plans. Our objective is to establish arrangements that are lower cost, operationally efficient, and support sustainable value creation for all parties. Alongside these mining initiatives, we continue to advance our plant improvement program that I discussed earlier to improve availability, throughput, and maximize high-margin met coal. When we combine all of these savings with savings expected from indirect spend, other procurement contracts, the organizational simplification resulting from selling Logan, and improvements across the Mammoth Underground from a dedicated improvement plan, this forms an integrated reset plan to improve operational reliability, lower costs, and increase cash generation. We're now reaching the end of the first phase of this reset, which entailed coming up with the plans and targets, as well as some early implementation actions. We have been supported by both Alex Partners and Odin Partnership in this work, and expect to be working with both these organizations in the next phase. We will now move to full enablement of these initiatives to start yielding early benefits the remainder of FY26 and to be fully baked for inclusion into the FY27 budget and guidance. We are making steady progress to stabilize Curragh and improve it to safely and reliably deliver high margin metallurgical coal to our export customers and thermal coal to Stanwell for 15% of Queensland's baseload electricity generation. Talking a bit about Buchanan now. Buchanan is a stable, profitable asset, and our focus at Buchanan is optimization. Its results continue to demonstrate why the expansion project was such a good investment and decision. Following completion and the successful return of both longwalls to production after first quarter relocation activities, Buchanan has now established a materially higher operating base. It also delivered CHPP operating hours among its strongest quarterly results in the past 3 years, reflecting the reliability and consistency of this operation. Buchanan delivered record first-half ROM production of 4.7 million tonnes, representing growth of more than 26% compared to the prior corresponding period. This higher production base has been achieved with on-plan cost performance. Mining costs during the quarter were approximately $91 per tonne. The operation generated approximately $63 million of earnings, that's EBITDA, during the first half. More broadly in the US, we've now simplified the overhead structure, supporting the operation following the sale of Logan, ensuring the business is appropriately aligned to a single US asset while maintaining the technical and operational capability required to support future performance. With expansion complete, capital requirements are materially lower, and a great proportion of earnings can be converted into free cash flow. We therefore expect Buchanan to remain a primary contributor to group earnings, cash generation, and balance sheet improvement moving forward. Sales volumes remained broadly stable for the group at 3.5 million tonnes during the quarter, despite saleable production increasing almost 40% quarter on quarter to 4.1 million tonnes. The difference was primarily driven by the rebuilding of inventory buffers mentioned earlier, as well as some shipment delays. Importantly, the quality of our sales mix improved this quarter. Met coal represented 80.4% of total group sales, compared to 71% in the March quarter. Export sales increased to 77%, compared to 74% in the prior quarter. This reflects improved operational continuity, better plant performance, and a greater proportion of high-margin met coal products, which, as I said earlier, is a key focus, and hence our focus on plant performance. The improvement in product mix translated directly into stronger realized pricing. Group realized met coal pricing increased 3% quarter on quarter to $171 per ton. The Australian realized met coal pricing increased 6% to $172 per ton, while the US remained strong at $168 per ton. This improvement occurred despite benchmark PLV pricing remaining relatively stable quarter on quarter. Now briefly on markets, the met coal market remained relatively stable throughout the June quarter. The benchmark PLV pricing averaged around $240 per ton. We saw modestly improving pricing performance for the lower quality met coal products and the PCI coals during the quarter, supporting broader market fundamentals. Since quarter end, benchmark pricing has softened and is currently around $220 per ton, going into the usual seasonally softer September quarter. Despite this moderation, we continue to believe the medium-term outlook remains constructive. Producers do continue to face some pressure. However, steel demand outside China remains relatively healthy, particularly in India. Overall, we continue to believe met coal remains well supported over the medium term. Sandeep will now cover the financials, including our liquidity position, and will outline what we have in place and what we are working on to ensure that we have some resilience for market volatility and operational disruptions until the full benefits of the reset program are realized into next year. With that, I'm pleased to introduce Sandeep Deoji, who has been with Coronado for many years. Sandeep was my right-hand man when I was CFO, and I know our money matters are in good hands with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Perry. I'm also pleased to be stepping into the role of interim CFO. Having been closely involved in the company's finance and capital management initiatives, I look forward to supporting the execution of our strategy, strengthening the balance sheet, and helping drive sustainable shareholder value. The operational improvements Barry described translated directly into materially stronger financial results, with high-quality revenue, materially lower costs, and improved cash flows quarter on quarter. While total sales volumes remained broadly stable at 3.5 million tonnes, revenue quality improved significantly due to the higher proportion of metallurgical coal sales and increased export exposure. Group realized metallurgical coal pricing increased to approximately US $171 per ton. At the same time, group mining cash costs declined nearly 28% quarter on quarter to approximately US$98 per ton, a substantial reduction delivered as operating leverage returned with volumes, despite external cost pressures, including an adverse FX rate, higher fuel prices, and inflationary impacts. The combination of stronger pricing and lower costs returned the business to positive earnings, a material improvement on the March quarter, and drove materially improved free cash flow. During the quarter, higher production ran ahead of shipping timing and logistics, which increased sellable coal inventory and will support stronger shipments and cash generation through the second half. It is also worth being clear on our reported results. Our half-year earnings include approximately US $30 million of losses from the Logan complex, which was idled in the first quarter, together with non-cash impairment charge recognized against the assets. With Logan sale expected to complete shortly, that drag will be removed, improving group's earnings and cash flow profile. On liquidity, we ended June with approximately US $98 million of available liquidity in the form of cash. Subsequent to quarter end, we continue to advance a number of marketing and working capital initiatives with key counterparties that are expected to provide additional liquidity and financial flexibility. Discussions remain constructive, and we expect these arrangements to be completed in the near term. In parallel, we have access to a range of working capital optimization initiatives across the business, including customer arrangements and other trade finance structures that can be utilized as required. Together with improving operational performance and stronger cash generation through the second half, these initiatives provide additional flexibility to support execution of the operational reset and management of liquidity. All our major growth capital programs are complete, particularly following the Buchanan expansion project delivered last year. As a result, capital expenditure requirements are materially lower than in recent years. Going forward, our focus is on maintaining momentum and converting operational improvements into sustainable earnings and free cash flow, strengthening liquidity and balance sheet flexibility, and ultimately creating the capacity to reduce leverage over time. The June quarter represents a significant improvement in both operational and financial performance and provides a much stronger platform from which to execute our plans for the remainder of 2026. As a reminder, our quarterly financial statements will be lodged with the SEC on the 11th of August with our Form 10Q. Thank you, and I will now hand over to the operator to open the line for questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star two. If you are on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Daniel Roden with Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, Jerry, Barry, and Sandeep. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to just first off, I wondered if you could maybe just walk us through a bit of a cash bridge for Q2, specifically, touching on, some potential, working capital mechanisms that you may or may not have utilized, including, receivable financing, and, how much Stanwell liquidity was drawn in Q2 as well, in terms of prepayments, what's the balance of Stanwell today? Sorry, there's a bit in that, but I was just wondering if you could kind of walk through a bit of a cash bridge and where the balance sheet sits today. Thanks.
Yeah, so from a working capital lever perspective, there weren't many levers that we did pull in Q2. In fact, there's probably about $20 million of supplier deferrals that we executed at the end of the quarter. When you look at the cash flow for the quarter, we obviously were negative sort of $23 million in the quarter itself. And to answer your question, about $40 million of that was contributions that were made by Stanwell from the prepayment mechanism that we executed last year. And it is also important to note from a cash flow perspective, and as we mentioned in our quarterly result, that there was a significant amount of inventory that we built at the end of the quarter, which was really because of shipment and coal shipper issues that we faced, particularly in Australia, which means that there was about 430,000 tons of inventory that we built at the end of June, which will obviously convert into cash when we sell that in July. In fact, we've actually sold all of that by now. So if you exclude the impact of that inventory build, our cash flow, free cash flow rather, would be around break even or slightly positive. So that's what I've got to contribute.
And Daniel, just maybe to add, you know, if you reflect back on the working capital levers we said we've got available when we did the full year results presentation, or the last Q actually, most of those are still available. So we've not used those. And we're working on a couple of things as well. So I think the liquidity pending realization of the full benefits of this reset program, I think we're in a fairly good position there.
Thanks, guys. That's very helpful. And I just wondered if you could touch really quickly on, I guess, the price realizations specifically from Curragh have been, declining to benchmark, even though you've got, obviously thermal contributions there are still, normalized. What are you seeing on, is that a quality thing? Is that just lagging benchmark based off of sales timing? How are we looking at realizations at the moment, and how do you foresee those realizations going forward? Should we be expecting?
Yeah, I think the Curragh realizations, obviously it's a reflection of the average sales mix coming out of that operation. Now, as I said, we're working hard to maximize met coal production. There's a lot of focus on the plants. So there's a physical piece of work around effectively driving up the sales mix more towards met coal and balancing the mine and the plant better, that you don't end up having to bypass coal, create thermal, which then doesn't really provide a good economic return. So all of that is wrapped up in the reset program. So I'd expect us to get a better realization as a result of that. The rest of it, I think, is quite consistent with what we've had in the past, Daniel, that we need to know that Curragh produces quite a bit of PCI. The PCI index has not done what the PLV index has done. If you look at it kind of year on year in particular, and then the LV index is up quite a bit, but that's kind of the rest of Curragh's production sits against that LV index. So when I look at it year on year, we've seen the realized price, it's the group, but Curragh's close to this, the group increased from about 150 to 168. So we've seen pricing up about 12%, and that's to be expected for our mix. Outside of the work we're doing on improving plant uptime and throughput, which should see us doing a bit better. And does that help?
Yeah, it does. No, thanks, Aaron. And I'd be remiss if I didn't ask the last question. But there's been a bit of media speculation that you're looking at and assessing a potential sell down of Curragh specifically. So I just wondered if you could comment. Are you seeing anything in that process? Is there any progress there? And I guess if that was to transpire, what does pro forma company look like?
But yes, Dan. I think you used the key word there, which is it's media speculation. The impression, tongue in cheek, that I get of that article is someone's got it on auto repeat, and it comes out every 6 weeks. It is just speculation, and I think. Now, if one considers what we're doing at Curragh currently with the reset program, I think it flows from that we complete that work or get it kind of quite embedded before one would look at it. So that's pure speculation.
Thanks for your time. Appreciate your answers, and I'll hand it over. Thank you.
Good. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone. Your next question comes from Fintan Collins with UBS. Please go ahead.
Thanks, guys. So you've ended the quarter with about 780,000 tons of export inventories, including 430 deferred by shipment timing. I'm just wondering how much of that inventory has so far been converted to sales and cash receipts in July, and how much more we should expect through August. Thank you.
Yeah, so as I mentioned in my response to the previous question, there's about 430,000 tons which were purely timing related, and all of that ton is actually been sold at the beginning of July. The other 200,000 to 300,000 tons of inventory is an optimal level of inventory that we like to sort of keep at mine at port, and the intention going forward would be to sort of have that stable inventory levels through the second half of the year.
Okay, thank you. That's clear. And then just at Curra, I understand we need to build inventory buffers there to improve the production system stability. What inventory level would you view as required? Sort of how long would it take to reach, and what's the cash flow impact of building that buffer? Thank you.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's an important point for the cash flow for the rest of the year, obviously. Now, we've got some of that in place as we sit here. But, you know, if you think about that mine, so we've got the mine in the north, which that's quite far from the processing plant that sits in the south. You know, so you'd want some ROM stocks there. So call that 200,000 to 300,000 tons maybe. And then in the south, even though it's closer to the plant, you'd want some there. So call that another 200 to 300, and then a bit of crushed in front of the plants that you can kind of service customers and get the product blend right. You know, so it sits in that 600,000 to 700,000 ton range, I'd put it. And you know, as we sat at the end of the half, we probably had about 200,000 there. You know, so we need to build that up. We'd manage that carefully with liquidity. You know, it is a bit of a trade-off with liquidity, but it gives you stability, as I said. And then we start thinking ahead at the wet season as well. That's approaching come December, Jan, and having this set up well will ensure better stability. So a couple of trade-offs in there, but that's plus minus what we target. Not that it'll be a kind of a religious commitment to dogmatically sticking to it. We'll do what we have to do for the business too. But it gives you a bit of a guide from that.
Last one. And then maybe just one last one from me. Assuming there's strong Q2 operating rates are sustained, when would you expect Coronado to become self-funding without any more incremental customer or working capital support?
Look, I mean, as Sandeep, he stepped you through that cash flow bridge. I think we came fairly close to that in the second quarter as well. We'd have to look at pricing as it receded a bit. Maybe that'll only wash through in the fourth quarter, but maybe we'll pick up some of that in the third quarter as well. So I think we're fairly close to that position. Maximizing met coal production, that'll be important. Then realizing the savings, which the savings has to ramp up over time. That won't happen overnight. But I mean, I'll leave it at saying, I think you'll run your own numbers and get to it, but I've outlined the key levers. I think we're getting there and we're approaching it well.
Very good. Thanks for taking my questions. I'll pass it on.
Thanks, Fontaine.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star one. Your next question comes from Kyla Ma with Barrenjoey. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. Just one from me. Could you give us any sense of how the operations have been running in July? Has performance for both production and cost been improving on the June quarter, and any sense you can give us on the free cash flow generation over the month? Thanks.
Thanks, Kyla. It's a pity Glenn can't be on the call, but it's good to talk to you as well. Look, the call's not really designed to talk about July, so I don't want to get too granular about it. What I will say is I'm very happy that the operating reset at Curra has got excellent traction. It's got good traction across the team. That's what we should be focusing on. So I'm happy that the team's focusing on all the right things to get us to the right place. And we'll tell you more about July with the next quarterly.
Great, thanks.
Thank you.
That concludes the question and answer section of today's call. I'll now hand back to Jerry for any closing remarks.
Thank you, operator. To conclude, this quarter is an improved performance, and we expect to continue improving for the remainder of this year. We already have stronger production, lower costs, improved margins, positive earnings, and improving cash generation. While there remains work ahead of us, the business has proven momentum, and the foundations for future improvement are set with support of our Reset program. I would like to thank all of our employees, contractors, customers, shareholders, and stakeholders for their continued support. Most importantly, I would like to thank our people for their commitment during a period of significant change. It has been a privilege to be a part of this organization. I am confident that under Barry's leadership, supported by Sandeep and the broader management team, Coronado is well positioned for its next chapter. Thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to updating you again with our half-year results in August.